Amen. All right. Well, this morning we're going to wrap up our series, Building for Blessings. We've been in this for about 6 weeks. And so if you have your Bibles, would you turn to Acts chapter 19 this morning as we conclude? We've been in the book of Acts this entire time. And there's a principle that we've been talking about as we've been going through this series. And basically, this is the principle. There are times when God will do things in certain seasons of our lives as he is preparing us for the next thing that he wants to do. We've discovered that God will often do the structural in our lives before he does the supernatural. And that's a foundational work that's needed in us so that way we can support the blessings that God may want to pour out into our lives. See, there's things that God does in our lives through the structural, and we've talked about those over these last 6 weeks. We've talked about how he uses change or maybe conflict. We've discussed how God works on our character and he develops our character. And last Sunday, we talked about how we need to have clarity about who we are, about what we believe, and the way that we're going to live. And that's what we go through in that structural work. And as we go through those things and they'll go through those things that God is building within us, then we have that infrastructure we need for the things that God wants to do supernaturally in our lives. But in today's message, I want to take a little bit of twist on this principle that we've been talking about. And I want us to consider this, that sometimes God may do the structural in our lives as we experience the supernatural. We've seen this pattern as we've gone through the book of Acts in our series. Acts chapter 1 leads us to what happens in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 6 paves the way for what's going to happen in Acts chapter 8. And Acts chapter 15 then paves the way for the rest of the book of Acts. And we see how God is working through the working of his Holy Spirit to do the supernatural through the life of the early church. In Acts chapter 19, what we're going to see is a specific encounter that Paul has with some church leaders in a place called Ephesus. And as we read this passage here, I want you to notice the emphasis that Paul makes as he's talking to these church leaders. So Acts chapter 19, let's just look at the first two verses together, would you? Acts 19, 1 and 2. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe?" he asked them. "No," they replied, "we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So out of all the things that Paul could have asked these leaders in Ephesus, all right, the question that he comes out of the gate with is this: have you received the Holy Spirit? When you believe, did you have an encounter with the Spirit of God? Did you experience his presence and his power in your life? And did you hear how they responded to him when he asked this question? They said, "We didn't even know there was such a thing as the Holy Spirit. We have no idea what you're talking about." And the same question that Paul asked those early church leaders in Ephesus is a question that we can ask ourselves this morning. It is this: have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you encountered his presence and his power in your life? Do you know what it's like to live in the Spirit and to be filled with the Spirit? When you have a question like that, you might have a lot of different responses in a room like this, or maybe people who are watching online. Some people might say, "Well, I've heard the Holy Spirit's name, but I've never had any kind of what you call a relationship with the Holy Spirit." Or others might say, "Well, you know, there, at one time in my life, I felt a closeness to the Holy Spirit, but I don't have that feeling anymore." Or maybe you would respond by saying, "Hey, I'm like those guys back in Ephesus. I have no idea who this Holy Spirit is and what he does." The point I want to make this morning as we kind of get started on this last track of this series is this: we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need him. I need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. If you've ever assembled a piece of furniture, or maybe you put together some kind of equipment, most likely it came with a manual that walked you step by step what you needed to do, these instructions, so that way you could put this thing together that you purchased. In the front of those manuals, usually on like the first or second page, there's a list of tools that you are going to need, that you have, that are going to equip you to be able to do this work. Now, whatever you're putting together, it might need a certain type of screwdriver. It might need a certain Allen wrench or a specialty kind of tool to finish the job. And sometimes those tools are included in the packaging, which is always nice when you buy something when it comes to the tools. You know what I'm talking about? But sometimes it doesn't, and so then you need to go find those tools. You need to have those tools on hand, because here's the thing. That list that comes in that manual, it tells you what you need beforehand, before you start, so that way you'll be effective putting together whatever it is that you've purchased and you need to assemble. And in essence, this is what Paul is doing here for the church at Ephesus, where he talks to them. He's talking to them. He's very aware of the world that they're living in. He knows the details of what's happening at that time. And he knows what it's going to take for them to be effective and successful followers of Jesus. So Paul asks them right from the beginning, have you experienced the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you full of the Holy Spirit? As almost to say, right, if you haven't, you're going to need him. You're going to need him for what he's about to do. Friends, when we look at this instruction manual, God's word, we recognize it gives us, it tells us what we need to be effective followers of Jesus. We need the Spirit's life in filling us. So this morning I want to talk about why this is so important and why your relationship with the Holy Spirit will help you build for blessing in your life. When we look through the book of Acts, and especially here, it's kind of key in Acts chapter 19, Paul is basically telling the church at Ephesus, for what's about to happen, what's about to take place, you need a relationship with the Holy Spirit so that way you can build blessings as God is going to send you out to do amazing and wonderful things in the world. So today I want to give us three specific reasons why we need the Holy Spirit. But before we jump into that, can we change our position for a moment? Would you stand with me and let's go to the Word, Lord, in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, as we stand in your presence today, we recognize we are in the presence of a holy God. Thank you that you've revealed yourself to us through your Son who came to this earth 2,000 years ago to give his life. We're going to celebrate that birth starting next week. We thank you for his life that was given so that way we could have forgiveness of sins as he took our place on the cross and died for us, but yet he rose again in victory. And thank you after that, Lord, you sent your Holy Spirit to do a work in us as well. Thank you that your Spirit is present and with us today. Lord, as we look into your word, I pray that we'll have understanding beyond what we can know in the natural. And I pray, Lord, that that work that you want to do in our hearts, that spiritual work, that it'll run deep today, Father. That we'll talk about things that maybe are familiar or maybe for the first time considerations that we will have. God, I pray that as you speak to us, as you reveal your word to us, God, as you reveal your plan for our lives, God, that we will embrace you in totality, all that you have, the fullness that you desire us to walk in. Heavenly Father, we submit this time to you. We pray that your kingdom would come, your will would be established here in this place and in our lives. And in Jesus' name we pray these things. Everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. All right, if you have notes on the back of your program, there's 3 points this morning. You can also take notes online at wfa.church, live stream, and there's a note section there. Number one, we need the Holy Spirit for the world we are living in. In fact, if you want to underline something, you can underline that last half of that, all right? For the world we are living in. We need the Holy Spirit for this world in which we live. Now, I was a youth pastor for almost 12 years, and I had the privilege, if I could use that word, of taking our kids to camp every year. Have you ever gone to a youth camp before? Anyone? Anyone? They're awesome. They're wonderful. And I love doing camps. In fact, we would have 2 camps a year. We would have a winter camp, which was usually in January, and our summer camps would normally be in July. And so when kids would register for camp, I would then send them a packing list. So here's this list, this form they would get, and on this packing list, it would tell them all the things that they're supposed to bring. But then I also learned as a youth pastor, being almost 12 years in this season, I also had to make a list of things not to bring, right? You know what, the things you're gonna need, but I also tell them, don't bring these things, please. Please, just leave those things out of your suitcase. And so depending on the type of camp depended on the type of list that they would get. So if it was summer camp, they would get a packing list that would say, you know, bring your flip-flops, bring your swimsuit, bring your beach towel, sunscreen, those kind of things. If we were gonna go to winter camp, we'd give them a different kind of list. Hey, you better make sure you have some snow boots, gloves, warm clothing, a hat, those kind of things. Those are the things you would need for our winter camp in January. Two totally different lists for stepping into two totally different worlds. You don't want to get those lists crossed, right? Because at one camp, it's probably 32 degrees or lower. And at the other one, when we go to Spokane, it was usually 99 and above. Two different lists for two different worlds. But let me ask you a question this morning, friends. In the world in which you are living, in the place where you find yourself today, what is it that you need? What do you need? In your home environment, in situations at work, in the things that you're facing, in school maybe, or the challenges that you're having in your life right now, the stress and anxiety and pressure, what is it that you need? Our world is moving further and further away from God. Amen? We see it every day. It's full of voices that tell us, oh, you need this. No. You need this. We open up our phones and we see things. Oh, no. This is what you need right here. This is what you must have. These voices are constantly telling us what we need. But can I make a proposal to us today? My proposal is simply this. We need the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. Why the Holy Spirit? Well, let me tell you. This week, our minds are focused in on Thanksgiving. At least mine is focused in on Thanksgiving. To me, it's kind of like the perfect holiday. You know, friends, family, food, football. What more could you ask for? You know what I'm saying? It's a beautiful thing. But just for a moment, I want you to think back 6 months ago to another holiday that we celebrated, Easter. We begin with Good Friday because we remember what Jesus did at Calvary for us when he died on the cross for our sins. We remember Good Friday, but then that leads to Resurrection Sunday, where we celebrate his victory over the grave, over sin and death on our behalf. And we celebrate Easter, but 50 days after Easter is another day that we celebrate, and it's called Pentecost Sunday. That's the day that's mentioned, and we read about in Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church at that time, when the believers were baptized in the Holy Spirit. In fact, I want to read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So what we see here is this, is the New Testament church was born on the day of Pentecost. The day when the Holy Spirit was poured out in power on the believers, and then they went out from there. In fact, when we read the book of Acts, it's actually the launching of the church, of God's people, into the world to carry the good news of Jesus Christ. And we here at Wenatchee First Assembly, we consider ourselves to be a Pentecostal church. We trace our roots all the way back to Acts chapter 2. The word Pentecostal is kind of loaded because it means something different to a lot of different people, right? It might be based on your theological views, or it might be based on your personal experiences, but let me tell you what we believe here at Wenatchee First Assembly when we use the word Pentecostal. When we say we're Pentecostal, this is what it means. That everything that God did in the New Testament, everything that the Holy Spirit did throughout the Gospels and in the book of Acts, we believe the Holy Spirit is still doing those things today in the lives of his people and in the life of the church. That's what we believe. We are thankful for the fact that the Holy Spirit is alive and he's active and he's working in us. Jesus told his disciples, you're going to need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your lives. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 tells us why. It's a very familiar verse to us here at Wenatchee First. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus is saying here, I am calling you to be a witness, and the power that you're going to need is going to come from the Holy Spirit. So whatever it is that God is calling you to, friends, whatever he's calling you to do, the Holy Spirit has come to give you what you need in the world in which you live. He offers it to us. So here's what I want us to recognize this morning is this, that you are a witness to the world. Right here where you live, in the place where God has called you, you are a witness. You are called to show who Jesus is in your life, through your actions. And I think this is key why Paul asked these leaders in Ephesus, have you received the Holy Spirit? Because he knew what they would need would be the Spirit's empowerment to be witnesses to the world in which they lived. Otherwise, the world was going to eat them up and spit them out. He knew this, and he was encouraging them in this. You see, Ephesus was a very significant place for a number of different reasons. Let me just tell you about a few of them. It was one of the leading cities in the Roman Empire at that time. Ephesus was considered the first and greatest metropolis in Asia. It was a leading city in the most prosperous region of the Roman Empire. And Ephesus was very strategic, not just in trade and not just in politics, but also it was strategically located for the spreading of the gospel message. And if we even take this a little bit further out, we also know that it was also a city that had great spiritual activity happening at that time, but it wasn't always good spiritual activity. There was a lot of idol worship going on. There was a lot of worship of false gods. There was all kinds of different kind of dark spiritual activity taking place around them. And I would say that we today probably aren't too far off from what they experienced back then. And yet, we are called to be witnesses to the world where we live. And as a result, we need to keep this in mind. How we live our lives shows the world who we are, and it also shows who Jesus is, and that is a part of our witness. I might not completely know your story. I might not know everything that you have gone through in your life, but here's what I do know, that God can use everything that's happened in your life, and he will use you where you are at to be a witness for him. I am convinced that you can't do that on your own, however, and I can't either. That it's going to take the power of the Spirit in our life to help us be the witnesses that God wants us to be. This world needs a Spirit-filled witness in you and in me, in your workplace, in the marketplace, as a parent, as a neighbor, as we have all these interactions with the people in the world around us. We are called to be witnesses of Jesus. And not only are we called to be witnesses in the world around us, but the Bible says, there's another W word it gives us. It says that we are warriors in this world, that you have been called into a world that in so many ways is opposed to the Christian beliefs that you might hold. You are called to be a warrior. And I don't use that language dramatically. The language I'm using is the same language that Paul uses as he writes to the church. He uses this language when he talks about that there's a battle happening, and when we find ourselves in this same strategic thing in Ephesus again. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 with me. This is what Paul writes. Ephesians 6, 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Paul says, look, there's a struggle going on. There is a battle that is taking place. And the battles that you fight are not against flesh and blood. There are dark things in the spiritual world happening around you and powers that you can't even see. You don't know what's happening there, but there's things that are happening in that spirit realm. He said that to the church at Ephesus, but he also says it to us as well. If we're going to fight that kind of battle, how are we going to do that? things that we can't even see? How do we engage in something like that? Well, the Bible takes us right back to the Holy Spirit again. A few verses later, Ephesians 6, 17 and 18, listen to what Paul writes here. He tells us to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. I kind of think it's interesting that as Paul's writing here, when he's talking about the weapons that we have, that we have to move forward with and advance with, he says that we move forward with the sword of the Spirit, and he talks about praying in the Spirit. So here's the reality. When you talk about a list, like, what do we need, right? What do we need? He tells us right here, to fight spiritual battles, we need the power of the Spirit of God. We can't do it on our own. And it's important to know this, because those battles that we face so many times, they're not flesh and blood battles, but they are spiritual in nature. And in order for us to be effective in those types of battles, we must be full of the Spirit. Now, sometimes it might feel that you are fighting battles against flesh and blood. Sometimes it might feel like you're in a battle against culture, that you're fighting against some type of situation. Those things might come. But Paul reminds us that these battles we fight are spiritual ones. And the only way that we can fight and win those battles is through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit's power in order for us to be effective. The reason I think that sometimes we feel frustrated or we might feel that we're not victorious is because we're trying to fight spiritual battles using earthly weapons. We're trying to use what we have, whatever we can come up with, when that's not what we need. Ephesians 6 reminds us that what we really need are spiritual tools to be able to fight these spiritual battles that we find ourselves in. Friends, we need the Holy Spirit for the world that we live in. Is that true? Amen. Amen. The second reason we need the Holy Spirit, part two on your notes, is we need the Holy Spirit for the days that are ahead. And if you want to underline something, underline those last words, for the days ahead. I think sometimes when we think about spiritual experiences, I think sometimes we tend to think of them as momentary, right? That we just need to have this one big supernatural experience. It's kind of dramatic. And then once we've had that, then we're good, right? Or other times we think of spiritual experiences as like, you know, I just need to go to church and I need to go and meet the Holy Spirit there, and I'm gonna have my Holy Spirit moment in worship. And after I've had that, then I am good for the rest of the week. I'll have this encounter and I'll be good. When the reality is this, is I need to walk with the Holy Spirit every day. I need to be in His presence. I need to live there. Because knowing the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit is what prepares me for the days ahead. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know when the phone's going to ring and I'm going to hit some new information, like this week when I found out that June Acton had fallen and broken 8 ribs. I was like, took me by surprise. Or sometimes we get in a spiritual battle. We don't know what's around the corner. We need to walk and we need to live in His presence. In Acts chapter 19, Paul is with these Ephesian leaders and he says to them, have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you received Him? When you encountered Him, when you came to know Jesus, did you encounter His Spirit as well? And you know what? There's no way that he's asking this question. He doesn't know what's coming down the road. He knows the world in which they live, but he doesn't know exactly what's going to be happening. But he knows that strategically, they believe in Jesus and God has established them there, that they need the Holy Spirit in their lives. I need to walk with the Holy Spirit every day because it prepares me for what's coming ahead. You know, there's no way that Paul could have known what the church at Ephesus was going to go through. He didn't know that eventually their story would be so significant in the New Testament. He didn't know that, but Paul didn't know because he couldn't tell the future. But yet it was clear that they were going to need the power of the Holy Spirit for what was to come. And you might ask, Pastor, why do you say that? Well, let me give you two scriptures specifically straight from what Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. The first one comes in the form of a prayer that he prays for them. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. This prayer that Paul prays for the church at Ephesus. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Let me back up for just a second. Give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. One of the things that we need in the days that we live in right now is we need wisdom. We need God's wisdom. We need his revelation. We need wisdom for the things that we are going to face. We need wisdom for the things that we might encounter. As Jesus was with his disciples right before his arrest and his crucifixion, he made them this promise. This is what Jesus told them. He said, the Holy Spirit will come and he will tell you what you need to know, giving you insight that you need. He made them that promise. And church, we need that same wisdom and insight for the days that we are going into. When he told his disciples this, they had no idea what was going to be happening. That he would be arrested, that he'd be crucified, that they would be scattered. They would be filled with the Holy Spirit. They would be sent out, and eventually most of them would die as martyrs. Church, we need that same wisdom and insight for the days ahead, knowing that it is what God would have us do. God, how would you lead us? How would you guide us? See, wisdom comes to us in a couple different ways. Sometimes it comes through discernment. Maybe you know what I'm talking about, where the Holy Spirit just kind of begins to stir something in your heart and give you some discernment in a way. And I would encourage all of us on a daily basis that we would seek to hear the Spirit's voice in our life. That we would seek, that we would tune into the Spirit's voice as he would speak to us. I don't know that you'll hear it in a physical sense. Has God spoken audibly before? Yes. Does he always? No. But his Spirit will give us discernment. I know what it's like in my life when in my spirit, I feel God giving me the discernment, like, here's the direction you need to go, Darth. This is the way. And other times he might say, you don't want to go this way. You need to stay away from this right over here, but this is the way that you should go. It's that discernment that the Holy Spirit stirs in your heart and you know it's him. And if anyone ever says, oh, how do you know it's the Holy Spirit or not? If it lines up with this, you know it is. This is the filter, right? There's a lot of voices that will speak, but we know when God speaks to us because it will align with his word. We have to learn to know the voice and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Number two, the other way that God helps us know wisdom is that the Holy Spirit will enlighten God's word to us as we read it, and he will give us wisdom through the word. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. Paul writes, and in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. A dwelling place. Not only do we need God's wisdom, but we also need his presence. He's creating us, he's building within us a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus promised to do. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Counselor, the Advocate. In the Greek, it's Paraclete, which means the one who comes alongside. Jesus promised in the Gospel of John that he would send this. And Jesus says, the Spirit is just another like me. This is who I am sending to you. And the Holy Spirit is the presence of God. And when we have the presence of God, he is right here with us. For Christmas, we are going to celebrate Emmanuel, and that means God with us. He came down in physical as a baby, lived 33 years on this planet, but after he ascended and went to the Father, he sent us the Counselor, the Advocate, the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside of us. It is the Spirit of God with us. And maybe you've experienced moments in your life where you felt like you were all alone, that there's no one with you, yet you are completely on your own. But then someone comes and maybe takes you by the hand, or they put their arm around your shoulder. Maybe they send you a message or they give you a call, and it's in that moment you suddenly realize, I am not alone. I have felt like I'm alone, but now I have the physical representation that I am not alone. And friends, we can have confidence that the Holy Spirit, His presence is with us. Not only today, but also in the days to come. It's so important that we grasp and we understand this. Paul somehow knew this, right? And he says to the church at Ephesus, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Because he knew that was exactly what they were going to need in the days ahead. Friends, as your pastor, I want this for you too, for the life that you are living. Our tendency is always to try to do things on our own, isn't it? I got to solve this problem. I got to do this. I, you know what? Yeah, things are hard. Things are tough, but I'm going to make a way through this. I've got this. Yet God is giving us His Holy Spirit as a gift to us so that we can live this life with the Spirit's filling us. The world in which we are living and for the days ahead, we need the Holy Spirit. Let me share with you one more reason why we need the Holy Spirit today. We need the Holy Spirit for the life that we are called to. Not just the life that we're living, but the life that we are called to. Not just for the day ahead, not just because of who you are, but because of who you are. We need the Holy Spirit for what He is calling you to do. You need the Spirit. Quickly, let me just give you a couple things that Paul says here to the church in Ephesus about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. First, he references the Holy Spirit over and over again throughout this letter, but in Ephesians 3:16, right? Not John 3:16, Ephesians 3:16, this is what he says. Another prayer from Paul for the church at Ephesus. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Look, if you are weary, if you are tired, his strength comes through the Holy Spirit. That is the conduit that brings us strength. It's the Spirit at work in your inner being, bringing you power and giving you strength. So wherever you are at right now in life, if you're frustrated, or if you're struggling, and it feels like life is getting the best of you, have you ever felt that way? In that place, know that you can seek the Holy Spirit, and there is strength that He can bring. Last Sunday when I was sharing, I used a little illustration about a boy named Noah living with his mom, and he accidentally ordered all these popsicles online on Amazon, kind of got himself in a little bit of trouble and stuff like that. And I mentioned how the reason he ordered these is because it had his favorite cartoon character on there named SpongeBob SquarePants. Some of you guys don't know who SpongeBob is. He's a current cartoon character. I'm going to date myself here for just a moment. When I was growing up, there was no such thing as SpongeBob. One of the cartoon characters I liked to watch was a guy named Popeye. Yeah, Popeye? You know what I'm talking about? Popeye the Sailor Man. And he had a girlfriend named Olive Oil. I have no idea why she was named Olive Oil, but that was her name. And there was the bad guy. You remember what the bad guy's name was? Brutus. Bluto. He was bad. He was always getting in trouble. He was always trying to take Olive Oil away from Popeye. Right? And so Popeye always found himself in these situations, right? He didn't have the strength that he needed because Bluto would come and he would grasp and take Olive Oil away, and Popeye couldn't do anything about it. And a lot of times, you know, Popeye would get beat up and he'd be left for dead. You remember what I'm talking about? He didn't have the strength to do anything on his own, but all of a sudden, he grabbed a can, this anointed can of spinach. And he squeezed that thing, and that thing popped open, and that spinach miraculously flew from that can and went into his mouth, and he started to eat that spinach. And all of a sudden, the music in the cartoon changed. And all of a sudden, he started getting all these muscles. And I think his chest hair also popped out, I'm not sure, of his shirt as he ate this spinach. And then he had strength, and he'd go and he'd rescue Olive Oil, and he'd take care of Bluto, and he'd do all these different things. That whatever was wrong, he made it right, all because of this Can we call it supernatural strength that he had? Now, I'll just confess to you this morning, I am not a huge fan of spinach. It's just the truth. Salad, spinach is great, but if it's cooked, I'm just like, no, that's okay. I'll find something else. But I really believe in the power through God's Spirit in your inner being. Not from a can of a vegetable, but the power of God's Spirit to your inner person. Listen, I don't want to try to trivialize this. I don't want to try to turn the Holy Spirit into a cartoon character. That's not my point this morning. But I would use this example to say this. Oftentimes, the reason we're in tough situations and we don't find the strength to move through that situation, to make a way through that, is because we fail to remember that the Spirit of God has strength that he wants to give us. Sometimes we look at ourselves, what can I do? What can I reach for? How can I save the day? When God is saying, my Spirit is able to strengthen you. My Spirit will carry you through. It's not just going to carry you through, it's going to make a way through the strength that comes from him. It's a power that comes to our lives if we will seek him. This is why in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and we read it earlier, Jesus said that he would give us power to do what God has called us to do. So if you need strength today, friends, just simply ask the Holy Spirit for his strength, and he will give it to you. And what Paul also shows us here, and I think it's worth mentioning as we're looking at this, is that receiving the strength that comes from the Holy Spirit is a two-way street. It's not just knowing that he can empower us, but it's also living in a way that we can receive that strength. Because if we're not careful, we can put up a roadblock to that. We can impede the thing that God wants to provide for us, that strength that we desire. Let me show you a collection of verses where Paul tells us in Ephesians that when we look at this, okay, that we are called to strength. God is calling us to strength in him. Listen to what he says in Ephesians 4 now, verses 29 through 32. Paul writes this: don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, here's what we're supposed to do. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. I love this. Paul just kind of gets on this little run right here, right? This is what he says. He says, watch your words, because your words can grieve the Holy Spirit. Watch your words. And while you're at it, watch your attitude too, right? Watch your bitterness and your anger and your rage, and be kind and compassionate to others, forgiving them in the same way that Jesus forgave you. Your forgiveness is a model of what Christ has already done in your life. And when we get off the rails in those things in our lives, friends, that's when we grieve the Holy Spirit. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit, that hurts our relationship with him. And in some ways, it kind of ties our hands to the strength that he wants to bring and to give us. Listen, our words can be a trap, and our attitudes can enslave us. And when we choose not to forgive, it imprisons us. And with that in mind, friends, we're not only called to strength, but we are also called to freedom. We don't want to live imprisoned lives. We don't want to live in a life that's enslaved by our nature. We want to live a life that's free, spiritually free and alive in Christ. See, when we grieve the Holy Spirit, we put ourselves in situations where we lose that freedom because we become trapped by our words and by our attitudes and our unforgiveness. We become enslaved to those things. But I want us to look at the role that the Holy Spirit plays in our freedom. Just write this down, 2 Corinthians 3:17. It says, for the Lord is Spirit, And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You and I are called to this freedom. We are called to strength through His Holy Spirit. We are called to freedom. So here's my challenge. My challenge would be this. Maybe today you would say, Holy Spirit, would you help me? Would you not just strengthen me today, but would you show me the areas of my life where I've been grieving you, where I've gotten off the rails a bit? Would you show me those areas so that way I can let go of those things, so I can deal with things, and so that I can walk in your freedom? God, thank you for the fact that I was created, God, to walk in your strength, but God, also, God, I thank you that I'm able to walk in freedom. Here's one more quick thought about the Holy Spirit's work in our life. We need the Holy Spirit in the world we're living. We need His Spirit for the days ahead. We need the Spirit of God for what He's calling us to do. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but there's a problem. And the problem is this, that the world that we live in offers us so many other things that we can be filled with. It's like a competition, right? The world, it's constantly, sometimes it seems like it's like a fire hose trying to fill us. And yet, God offers us to be filled with His Holy Spirit. Listen to what Paul says 2,000 years ago. Again, he's talking to the church at Ephesus. He says this in Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Okay, this isn't a message about drinking right here. What this is a message of is what we are filled with. What are we filling our lives with? Paul needed to say to those people at that moment, that time he was speaking to, don't give yourselves over to too much wine. Don't fill yourself up with too much wine, but be filled with the Spirit. But if we took Paul's statement and we took the word wine out of there, and we filled in that blank with something else, what could it be? Because the things that we might be struggling with, the things that we might be tempted to do, could make that statement look a whole lot different. It could be, don't be filled with what's on your screen. Don't be filled too much with social media. It's not a really good benefit for you. Don't be filled with unhealthy relationships that aren't building you up closer to Jesus. Actually bring you down. Don't fill yourself with substances that aren't healthy for you or good for you. Don't fill yourself with things that you would try to self-medicate with. Here's the reality, friends. We live in a world that is so draining. Constantly, and oftentimes we find ourselves in a place where we need to try to fill ourselves back up. And whether those things are good or those things are bad, if we're looking to those things, we're looking at the wrong thing to be filled with. When it comes to filling our lives, our first step and our first response should always be this: Lord, would you fill me? Would you strengthen me? Would you give me wisdom in your presence? Would you give me your freedom and your peace? God, will your Holy Spirit work in my life? Friends, we are called to fullness. If you're writing down notes, we had that down. I am called to fullness. I am called to know God's presence in my life. Sometimes people talk, oh, what are you called to? Oh, Pastor Darth, you were called into ministry. Tell me the story about how you were called into ministry. All of us have different stories like that, but one thing that we all have in common is this, friends, that we are all called to fullness, and we are all called to His presence in our life. And the reason I want to stress this morning is that without it, that's when our world starts to fall apart. We've been using a construction analogy throughout this series of messages, been using it each week in different ways. Well, there's an analogy I just want to share with you a little bit. At our house about 4 years ago, we had to address an issue that our driveway was having in our house. It was starting to deteriorate. There was cracks that were developed in it. Some spots were kind of sinking lower. Some parts were raised up. It was kind of deteriorating on the edges of it. We're having some problems with it. It was getting worse and worse every year. In fact, when we bought the house, when we had it inspected, they say, at some point, you're going to want to take care of this driveway. And so we held off as long as we could. And 4 years ago, we said, well, we got to look into this. We need to have this be addressed. Now, here's the interesting thing. Our driveway wasn't the only driveway on our street that was having issues. In fact, there's four houses in a row that were all built by the same contractor in the same year. And all four of our houses' driveways looked the same. Pretty interesting. And in the process of us having our driveway replaced, we found out why these driveways are having problems. These driveways were not constructed the correct way to begin with. They weren't built correctly. See, on the surface, we could only see the surface level. We could just see the top of the concrete. But under that top of that, what we can see with our physical eyes, there needs to be a base underneath that concrete. It needed to be filled correctly with the right things that fills it from underneath. If a driveway isn't filled correctly, the top will crack. You'll see those things on top, right? You'll see those little things starting to form, and it'll begin to deteriorate and begin to start to fall apart. And so when we removed our driveway, when they were pulling out, they have these backhoes, they're pulling stuff out, we saw why our driveway was having issues. Is our driveway wasn't constructed correctly to begin with. It was not packed down at all. There was no packing. Gravel had been down there. There should have been down there. There was none. They would have seen in the bottom of it. And there was absolutely no rebar in any of our concrete. And guess what? I guarantee you the other three houses just down the street from us, they're going to find the same thing. It wasn't constructed properly. It wasn't put together the right way. And as a result, we had a broken and battered driveway. We had it replaced. Now ours looks better. It's good. I'm happy. It used to be able to kind of scoop up some of the remnants of our driveway and just kind of throw it to the side. It was that bad, but we have a good driveway now. We're excited about that. But friends, some of you might be looking at the surface of your life, and you might see some cracks. You might see some sinkholes. You might see areas on the surface of your life that are starting to deteriorate and starting to break down and fall apart. And it's not so much that you have to do a cosmetic job on the outside. We could have gone and tried to done a cosmetic job on our driveway, and it would have done no good because it wasn't filled the correct way. It wasn't built the way that it should have been. And when we look at our lives, sometimes we'll just deal with the cracks that we see on the surface. We'll just take care of that. We'll take care of the little sinkholes and the things that seem to be falling apart. And it's not that we need to do that, but maybe we need to come to terms with the fact that what's happening is what's filling us in our lives. What things are we filling ourselves with? And instead of trying to fill our lives with who knows what, all the things the world tries to parade before us, saying you need this and you need this and this will make you happy and this will give you strength and this will bring you joy and this will grant you peace. Instead of trying to fill our lives with the things that the world says we should fill our lives with, how about we fill it with the Holy Spirit? How about we say yes, Lord, to what you want to bring and to do in my life? I'm going to ask the worship team to come out and join me this morning. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? In Acts chapter 19, Paul says to these Christian leaders in Ephesus, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And they said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. Paul began to dialogue with these leaders within the Christian church, and they had a discussion. And that leads to Acts chapter 19, verse 6, where it says this, that Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak with other tongues and prophesied. And from that point on, the church at Ephesus was never the same. It was changed forever. Not because the Christian leaders went to some conference and got a to-do list. Not because they read some books and said, man, they listened to a really good podcast on how to make your life happier. Paul laid his hands on them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And from that day forward, the church was never the same, but their lives were never the same. It all started when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me this morning across this room? As Tammy and the team are going to lead us in a song, I just want us to position ourselves in such a way that God has the freedom to do what he wants to do in our lives. 3 points of response this morning. The first point would be this. You say, I don't know anything about the Holy Spirit, but tell me more about this Jesus you're talking about this morning. If you have not opened up your life to Jesus, today would be a great day to say yes to a relationship with the Lord. He went to the cross, he died for your sins, so that way you could live in freedom from sin, but that you could live an abundant life. But it all begins with the relationship with Jesus. And if you haven't made that decision today, today's a great day. The second thing is this. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Do you know what it's like to be filled with the Spirit and to walk with his presence in your life? And if you haven't, you can simply ask God today to fill you. In fact, Scripture says that he wants to give us his Holy Spirit. And so if you would ask him, Lord, fill me with what I really need. Give me the strength of your life. The Holy Spirit is your presence walking with me this journey and this life that I'm living. God, would you fill me to overflowing so that way I can be the person that you are calling me to be and I can do the things that you're calling me to do. And the third response point this morning is this. In what areas of your life do you need the Holy Spirit's work and his presence? What are some areas that you want to surrender to him today? But I want us to do what they did in Acts chapter 2. It says that they prayed. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait till I send you the promise of the Holy Spirit. And so they gave themselves over to prayer, and I want us to do that this morning. I'm going to do a short prayer, and then what we want to do is, these altars are open. You can make an altar of the seat you are, but any of those responses this morning, you can say, Lord, I want to receive you as Lord of my life. Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Maybe the prayer will you be, Lord, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? Or maybe you're going to surrender and say, God, these are some areas of my life that I need the Spirit's work in. And I'm going to surrender to those to you today. Because I don't want to grieve you. I want to walk with you in strength and freedom. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. I thank you for the ministry of your word. God, it's nothing that comes from me. It's your word to us, Lord. And so, Father, I try to be faithful with the things that you've wanted me to share this morning. But now we're giving ourselves, we are presenting ourselves to you in a moment of prayer and worship. Lord, we pray that your kingdom would come and your will be established in this moment as we surrender ourselves to you. Lord, have your way in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's turn this room into just a time of prayer. Would you surrender and present yourself to the Lord today?